support.
Speaking for the third world gays and Asian American gays, she undoubtedly had to do with the third world National Gay Conference that took place this week in Washington at the Harambee Motel that was sponsored by the National Coalition of Black Gays. Which a 5-day conference included workshops, plenary sessions, and cultural events, and included a keynote addressed by black lesbian poet Audre Lorde. We'll also be having a speaker later on concerning gay people and immigration, Tony Sullivan of Los Angeles.
I came out here on the Freedom Train from Oakland, and we made stops all across the country, and part of the national organization and the thrust of this march is bringing people out of the closet all across the country. At 2:30 in the morning, 30 lesbians and gay men met the Freedom Train in Lincoln, Nebraska. We had groups from Bustin, from Salt Lake City, to meet us at 6 o'clock in the morning in Ogden, Utah. These are the people that these other people who are here live today, we're marching for them, we're demonstrating for them, as well as for ourselves. Again, you're listening to a live, the first nationally live broadcast of lesbians and gay men. And we're being carried in Denver, Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, Cincinnati, Ohio, Yellow Springs, Ohio. Lucia, Moya?
I think that people also ought to know that besides people coming from on the Freedom Train, they have also come from Texas, from Oklahoma, from Kansas City, from North Dakota, from South Dakota. They have come from the mid-Atlantic states, up and down here on the East Coast. We have people in from West Virginia and Delaware. We have people coming in from the South, from as far away as good old Dade County in Florida, and Los Angeles in Tennessee, and Kentucky.
Obviously, an event like this, with the national coordination that it involved, has set up a very strong grassroots foundation, and the organizers of the National March on Washington for Lesbians and Gay Rights have announced that the network of activists who came together to plan and carry out this march will continue to work together to plan a national meeting of lesbian and gay activists from throughout the country to discuss the direction which their newly formed organization will take. The meeting will probably be scheduled in early 1980 and will be publicized in the lesbian, gay, and women's press. So we can see that this demonstration is only the beginning of the work of a new national grassroots network in the gay community. We believe now we're about to head back to the platform. We are not about to head back to the platform.
One of the things that that we should also talk about is the lobbying constituency day, which is taking place tomorrow. Lesbians and gay men from hopefully every congressional district and every senatorial district in this country will be lobbying their congresspeople and their senators for passage of the Weiss bill, which is the gay rights bill in Congress. There's a lot of hugging and holding around here. It's a beautiful sight. There's a real family feeling here, and we hope that you're getting that feeling from this broadcast.
The tone of the people attending this demonstration has been this way all week long. It began with the Freedom Train. The people that came out here together from Oakland on that train really had a family spirit. Since I've been in Washington, I arrived Friday afternoon. Everywhere you go, it seems, you can find lesbians and gay men arriving, hugging in the streets. Just a really wonderful feeling, sort of a citywide gay fair. Last night, there was a free concert here in about the same area with about 10,000 people attending, all lesbian and gay identified performers. Beautiful, beautiful spirit, and this is just really built to this moment today.
This crowd is really incredible. Again, the official police estimate is 250,000, and I believe the end of the march just got here about 10 or 15 minutes ago. The weather is generally sunny, brisk, with a little bit of a wind, but it's a beautiful day. And it would be a beautiful day even if it was raining.
I think that the variety of speakers that are speaking at this rally truly exemplifies the kind of political activism that many people across the country are showing for this march. We have organizers from like Steve Ault, who was one of our main organizers here at the National March on Washington. We have people like quite possibly the mayor of Washington City Washington D.C. is going to be showing up a little bit later on. There are feminist theorists who are coming in, like Charlotte Bunch, Ed Cruikshanks, who is of the Rainbow Alliance, a group for gay deaf mutes, is going to be having his words translated to us here on the air. Allen Ginsberg is scheduled to be coming in. It truly represents a wide spectrum of the cultural and political alliances that are forming across the country.
I think probably one of the reasons that the speakers list seems to be so disorganized for us is that while people have been here in Los Angeles, new facets of the community, I mean, I'm sorry, in Washington, forgot where I was there for a minute, all different facets of the gay community have made themselves known. I happen to recognize the person on the stage speaking right now is Renee McCoy, a black lesbian from New York. And I'm sure that the outgrowth of the Third World Conference and all the other activities that have gone on this week have inspired more people to be included on the speaker's list.
Why don't we go back up to the stage and pick up with the rally?
Again, we're at the National March on Washington for Lesbians and Gay Men. We're leaving our platform right now to go back out to our mobile unit with Amy Sands and David Winyard.
CJ.
And you're?
Bovine.
Bovine.
Oh, you have... I don't know if you have a mic.
No, it sounds too raspy. I think we better go, because otherwise it won't be clear.
We seem to be having a problem with our mobile unit right now. But with me here at the broadcast table, I have Bill Blish, who works with WPFW here in Washington, D.C., who covered the Third World Conference. Bill, why don't you tell us something about that conference?
The Third World Conference had about 500 participants from Third World countries and blacks from all over the country. They had 40 states represented. And it was a very exciting conference in the sense that there were issues that concerned third world gays, such as sexism, discrimination, racism, ageism, and classism.
Are the problems of third world gays different from those of the rest of the gays, non-third world gay people?
Being third world, they have very different concerns in that they have the discrimination that normally comes when you're black or when you're Hispanic or Native American Indian. And so they thought they would address these problems from that perspective.
Did the conference deal very much with the problems of homophobia in some of the third world and minority communities in this country?
Yes, homophobia was discussed, and also issues such as concern with how we view ourselves as third world gays.
I noticed that one of the workshops, I believe, was entitled Gay People and the Family, and Gay People as Family Members in the Third World Community. Did you get to attend that one?
Yes, they had an excellent speaker, Audre Lorde, who has written several books on the matter, and they discussed the matter of parenthood, because there are many gays that do have children. Whether that was done when they were heterosexual or whatever, there are many families, as you saw even today, who have families with them, gays that have families and have children.
Another one of the issues that was discussed, I believe, was third world gays and religious issues. Can you tell us something about that workshop?
Yes. That's a very great concern to many blacks, because for the black people and for many third world people, the church is the central focal point of the community. And so it has to be dealt with when you start talking about homosexuals.
Okay, thank you very much, Bill, for talking to us. That was Bill Blish from WPFW talking about the Third World Conference of Lesbians and Gay Men. And now we're going to try to go back to our mobile unit with Amy Sands and David Winyard.
Hold on. Everyone gets into the act here.
We're on. Go.
All right. Amy Sands and David Winyard out here in the field for Pacifica Radio. We're talking to Steve and CJ from Iowa. This may be a little insulting, but are there really gay people in Iowa?
All kinds of them.
How did you all get down here for this march?
Steve, didn't we rent...
We had three RVs. We rented them from Cedar Rapids.
RVs? That must have been a lot of fun coming down here.
Well, it was, but it's kind of crowded.
Kind of crowded. Well, that could be fun, too.
Well, it was okay. We had tons of beer.
I see. Is this a coming-out experience for you?
No, I've been out since age 12, and I'm 18 now.
How does it make you feel to be in such a huge crowd of gay people?
I don't know. I can't find words to describe it. I mean, that sounds tacky, but I just can't. It's different, okay?
And you, Steve?
I find it, it's really amazing. It's kind of like the Woodstock of the gay movement.
Okay, and now back to the Pacifica tent with Greg, Moira, and Lucia.
Thank you, David and Amy. Again, this is a national live radio broadcast. Some of the other stations that are picking this up, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, California, San Francisco, California, and because of a time difference, on a tape delay basis, but it may as well be live, in Anchorage, Alaska, and Juneau, Alaska. Coming up, we think, is Arlie Scott from the National Organization for Women.
But once again, we are not sure. The speakers list, we don't have an exact schedule of speakers, although we have some kind of idea who's going to be speaking. As you've noticed, if you've been listening to us, we've misintroduced a couple of people because we were told somebody was about to speak and then somebody else turned up. So it's never a dull moment here. We're always in suspense.
Robin Tyler is on the platform now, and I think she's about to introduce whoever is going to come up next, and let's go with her and find out.
Here with a million people and make sure they include us in that monument. I have here a telegram from passion for gay rights, I think of Harvey Milk. His voice was always so cheerful, so full of love and joy, and he had a smile that never stopped. Spirit such as Harvey's is so vital to any movement, to know that any movement for social change must be based on love, and that anger and violence only produce anger and violence, but never produce change. So keep the spirit of love alive, because that is why you are here today. Love, Joan Baez. And she is right. We are not coming from the love of power. We are coming from the power of love. And love can never lose. Never. Our next speaker is a woman I have known for many years. She is a great organizer. She has spent a decade committed to the lesbian and gay rights and feminist causes. I am honored to be a friend of this person, the vice president of the National Organization for Women, a lesbian and a sister, Arlie Scott.
Well, look at us. Look at us. 250,000 in the daylight in Washington, D.C. No famines, no pestilence, no earthquakes, no floods. Oh, eat your heart out, Anita Bryant. Look at us. Look at us, America. You know us. You see us in your offices. You see us in your schools, in your churches, in your government, in your Congress, and I dare say in your White House, America. You know us, America. We are some of your best friends. We're some of your best relatives, your sisters, your brothers, your mothers, your fathers, your daughters, and your sons. You know us, America. We have walked with you in Memphis. We have marched with you in Selma. We have marched with you and run with you in Boston. We have been clubbed with you in Chicago and jailed with you in Birmingham and Three Mile Island. You know us, America. We have fought for civil rights movements. We have fought in the peace movement. We fought in the nuclear movement. In America, America, 10 years ago, we started to face our own oppression. We started to face our own fears, and we asked then for understanding, for justice, for equity. Listen, America, we're not asking anymore. We're 220 million strong in this country. Listen, America. Listen, America, in the 80s, we are moving from gay pride to gay politics. Gay politics. Listen, America, no longer the violence against gays and lesbians. And it is not only our enemies, it is not the strength of our enemies, it has also been the silence of our friends. No more, America. No more, America. In the 80s, listen, Mr. Ms. Politician. Listen, Mr. Presidential Candidate. Listen to us. We are 20 million strong. We are going to get organized. we are going to be unified, and we are going to go from a lesbian and gay movement to a political force in this country. Listen, America, listen to us now. Listen, America, we're going to force you to live up to your rhetoric. We're going to force you to live up to your American dream, which at its most exalted is a spiritual and humanistic vision of our possibilities, of all of our possibilities. And it is that part, America, it is that part of the American dream that we are reclaiming today. We are 20 million strong, and into the 80s, we're not going to ask anymore. We are demanding, listen, America, you are going to have to deal with us in the 80s, America. It's really hard for a dyke to stand here and look at the Washington Monument. You see, you must understand, Anita Bryant is not against homosexuality. She's against all sex with men. Well, doesn't have to worry about me. However, Anita just quit the church she was going to because the choir insisted on singing Go Down Moses. I am very honored to present our next two guests. Marie Diaz is a special assistant to Mayor Marion Barry of Washington, D.C. Now you may ask, who is Mayor Marion Barry of Washington, D.C.? Because just being a mayor is not enough to impress us, is it? I'll tell you who Mayor Marion Barry is. He is the first mayor in the history of the United States to declare this week Gay and Lesbian Awareness Week. That's who he is. The co-coordinator of the National Office for the March on Washington, and let's face it, to pull this march off, these people have worked so hard. How about a terrific round of applause for the National March on Washington Committee? Representing Mayor Marion Barry, Maria Diaz, and representing the National March on Washington, the co-coordinator from New York, Steve-O.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here representing Mayor Marion Barry. Let me just take one moment to say what it means to represent the mayor. I serve as a special assistant to him, and oftentimes when I'm sent to represent him, some of the people who are a little bit disappointed saying, we wanted the mayor, not his representative. Let me just call your attention to the fact that there are so many demands on his time. He's currently receiving invitations for personal appearances at a rate exceeding 1,000 per month. Even if he worked 7 days a week, which he does, and tried to make all of these commitments, he'd have to do approximately 34 personal appearances a day just to meet the demand. What the mayor has done is to set up a cadre of people who represent him at engagements like this rally and other events that are important to him. He asks that the participants in the rally understand this and accept his representatives as him and accept me as his representative and not be disappointed because he could not physically be here himself. Marion Barry has long been, for those of you in Washington who know him, those of you around the country, I'm sure, remember him from his militant activist days with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. He's no stranger to human rights, and we in the district do not distinguish gay rights from human rights. We have established model legislation, which we hope that the rest of the country will take a serious look at and follow our lead. We have a new director in the Office of Human Rights. We have made a conscious effort to make sure that lesbians and gays are appointed to boards and commissions in the District of Columbia. The mayor has appointed me as the liaison to the gay community in the mayor's office. We have provided funding for the Whitman Walker Clinic, which is a clinic that provides service to the gay population in the district. For the past 2 or 3 years, we have included funding for the clinic in our budget, and Congress has cut it out. This year, Congress cut it out again. We were able to find a way, though, in spite of this, to fund the clinic. We have also, for the first time, provided a gay representative to the Police Chief's Citizen Advisory Council. The District of Columbia is serious about human rights, is serious about gay rights, is serious about all of the citizens of the district. We hope that other parts of the nation will follow our lead and seek to end discrimination, whether that discrimination is in the form of racism, sexism, ageism, sexual orientationism, and any of those negative isms that create and perpetuate discrimination. They must be eliminated. Let me read to you now the proclamation. It says, the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., Gay Rights Awareness Week, October 10th through 17th, 1979, by the Mayor of the District of Columbia, a proclamation. Whereas on October 14th, 1979, national, regional, and local affiliations of gay rights organizations will come together and unite their efforts in a national march on Washington to focus public attention on the social, economic, judicial, and legal oppression of lesbian and gay people, and whereas during this day and throughout this week, many activities, including conferences, workshops, speakers, forums, and entertainment, will be provided for the purpose of establishing a communication network to reach third world lesbians and gays, and to protest discrimination against lesbian and gay people. And whereas lesbians and gays prescribe to the principles of basic human rights, equality of law, and a right to happiness and prosperity for all people, regardless of their sexual orientation, and because lesbians and gays have taken upon themselves to participate in a national march on Washington to end all social, economic, and judicial oppression against them, they are exercising a right to make their concerns known. And whereas it is fitting that lesbians and gays bring their concerns to the attention of the nation's capital, and by articulating the oppression experienced by lesbians and gays, the nation will become more aware of the issues that concern them and the hardships they face in a world beyond their own. And through articulating their views, lesbians and gays have become a magnetic force in unveiling the social oppression that forestalls their human rights. Now, therefore, I, the Mayor of the District of Columbia, do hereby proclaim the week of October 10th through 17th as Gay Rights Awareness Week in Washington, D.C., and call upon all of our residents to join with me in commemorating this as a time in which to rededicate ourselves to the concept of equality for all people in our society in order to strengthen our practice of democracy. Marion Barry, Jr., Mayor, District of Columbia.
That's Marie Diaz representing Mayor Marion Barry of Washington, D.C., and he was one of the first public officials to urge lesbians and gay men to come to Washington, D.C. for this march. Steve Alt, the national co-coordinator, is coming up now. Let's go back to the stage.
Gay rights. We thank you very, very much. 10 years ago, on a sultry summer night in New York City, gay people fought back for the first time. We proclaimed to the world that the centuries-old tradition of bigotry and persecution to which we had passively submitted would no longer be tolerated. That message has reverberated everywhere. In 10 short years, a worldwide movement was born. Thousands of organizations of every conceivable variety have sprung up, and our issues and struggles make front page news. The National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights is a milestone in our fight for freedom. For today, for the first time, we have all come together. The work of organizing this great event has itself had a profound effect upon the course of our struggle. New state coalitions have formed where none had previously existed. Local organizing has sparked new issues and grassroots participation of people in many areas, such as Vermont and Alaska. But most important, we have developed a national network. No longer will we be picked off city by city and person by person. This march has given us the capacity to respond decisively to oppression wherever it may arise. Today, we should take stock of our first 10 years and plan for the future. It is not easy to liberate oneself from the internalization of oppression wrought by eons of humiliation, degradation, and persecution that we and our ancestors have suffered. Therefore, it was necessary to separate ourselves from the rest of society and collectively raise our consciousnesses. What we see here today is proof that we have liberated ourselves from our own worst enemy, self-hatred. Now we must reach out to gain the support of progressive people to our cause. The numerous endorsements this march has received from labor unions, women's, third world, religious, and movement groups demonstrates that we are getting this most needed support. At the same time, we must also actively support the struggles of other oppressed people. In this period of social upheaval and economic collapse, the ruling powers must rely on scapegoating to preserve their control. They must pit one minority against another to distract people from the real issues. As we organize, so do our enemies. As we speak here, Anita Bryant is speaking a short distance away. But Anita is just part of a mounting, coordinated attack from the right directed against women, third world and working people, and lesbians and gay males. Now is the time to unite against the right. Their power is too great for us to go it alone. We must unite for our mutual survival, for inevitably we shall be defeated in isolation or be victorious in unity. And as we are thrust into a new decade of turmoil, the lessons of the early phase of the lesbian and gay liberation movement must not be forgotten. Let us learn from our oppression. Let us not forget what it is like to be treated as a subhuman so that we may understand the oppression of others. Let us not crave acceptance from a degenerate society. Let us not create parallel institutions which are little more than carbon copies of the same institutions which have been used to oppress us. If the great American pie is rotten, don't eat of it. Throw it out and make a new one. In 10 short years, we have come so far. Today we are celebrating what we are. We have learned to like ourselves, and there is no greater achievement. Tomorrow, as we disperse and return to our homes, we must dedicate ourselves to the crisis of our time and to the fight for the rights and well-being of all people. Thank you very much.
Steve Ault, one of the original organizers of the National March on Washington. If you would like to become part of that national network that he was talking about, you can write to the national headquarters at 943 9th Street in Northwest Washington, 20009. And now we are going to go to our remotes with David Wynyard and Amy Sands.
Hi, this is Amy Sands with David Wynyard. We're out in the field talking to Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, what did you think about, first of all, where are you from?
I'm from New York.
Are you from New York? What did you think about the Asian American woman who gave a speech about white skin privilege?
Yeah, I was delighted to hear her make the comments that she made. Some of the things that she was pointing out about the lack of consciousness around the interrelatedness between oppressions are problems that I have with not just this demonstration, but with the movement. And I think, I mean, to me it's obvious that white skin privilege is something if we don't confront, if we don't talk about racism, we can't really look at what homophobia and sexism means.
Can you explain that one a little bit more?
Well, I see them all as coming from basically the same place. And I think that this is a type of system that breeds those three types of oppression. I find for basically this movement, the demonstration today, there is a lack of consciousness about what that means.
Yeah, how do you feel in this crowd?
Well, I was standing by a group of white people holding the Lesbians Against the Nazi and the Klan sign, and when the Asian woman started to speak about that, they were stunned. They didn't know what to do. They didn't clap. They seemed to be insulted. They don't seem to realize that they have white people have a responsibility to all struggles against oppression. I mean, it's the same thing. We are all oppressed. They really don't see that.
Thanks very much. This is Amy Sands with David Wynyard, and now back to the Pacifica tent.